Today is March 21st of 2010, and I'm going to spend the morning talking about our vision statement. And as I do that, I've set aside some time here in this month to try to organize some thoughts and some things so that both you and I and anybody who happens to put any interest in us as a church could understand what it is we're about. And last week we talked about the values that our church has. And as I go through the message, I'll show you a church that's already taken to heart what Bishop Ramsey encouraged many of us to do several years ago. And then I'll also try to get you up to speed, which is as to what is the newest trend in how you communicate within the church system. Because it doesn't stay the same. And vision statements are not something that the Bible says, well, you should have a vision statement and you should have a mission statement as a part of your church. It's purely and simply a marketing strategy to try to help people understand what it is we're expecting God to do. What is the vision for what we want God to do in our church? And there's a lot of people out there who are looking for a church, and we want to present something to them in a short, concise, factual way so that they could see what we're about. And the pattern that our denomination is being led into is basically your pastor in whatever United Brethren Church that is comes to a church and says, this is my vision of what I want to see God do. And I noticed on the website the other day that there's a dozen churches that are looking for pastors. And what they're encouraging people to do that are moving from one church to another is to, for the pastors, have a clear, concise picture of what they think God wants them to do with their life. And present that to the church. And if the church says, we're in agreement, that's what we want to do, then it's a good fit for that pastor to become a part of that church. In the past, there has been a lot of things that happen in the church where they would just take a preacher and his family and move them to another church with no consideration of what the church wanted to do, what their values were, what their vision was, and what the pastor wanted to do. We're just going to put the two of you together and you do it. And it didn't always work that swell. And so what they're encouraging us to do is, before we even start as a pastor of a new church, to present to them what our vision is. And then the church either says, we could follow you in that, or we can't. And I've been here for several years, and I kept hoping that my life would be like what we read in Joshua this morning, that God would say, okay, tell the people to get up and pack their stuff. Okay, now tell them to walk up to the river. Okay, now tell those guys to take the ark and step into the river. And he'd tell them to step into the river. Okay, now I want you to pick 12 guys and have them pick up stones. And he tells him like twice to do all of this stuff, you know. And I was really hoping that it would end up like that. But it didn't. So after years of waiting, I'm moving in what I believe is the right direction, trusting that the Lord is leading my heart in that. And interestingly enough, as I go to Willow Creek this week, it may end up that the new bishop says, okay, well, what Ron Ramsey said was good, but this is what I want you to do. And so there's a significant potential that everything we've done could be changed. But change is good. You know, everything in life changes. So as I was working on this message, what I did is I went out on the web and I gathered examples of vision statements from United Brethren churches that they post on their website. Now, we presently don't have that on our website. But when we agree upon what we're going to do, I gave our webmaster an email yesterday telling, I'm going to ask you to change some things around and put some new things in. So when I went out there, I gathered these, and I decided I'll just have a quiz at the end of this. So you want to pay attention because it's a pass-fail quiz. It's not graded on a curve, right? Here is the Cream Ridge Church. It's a United Brethren Church. And here's what they have on their website, a place to grow. Now, that's kind of cool, isn't it? It's only four words. And you could look at that church, and if you were interested in growing in your Christian life, you say, oh, well, maybe that's a fit for me. Here's one from Florida, United Brethren in Christ, Holy Hill Church in Florida. Now, how many of you have been to Florida? There just isn't hills down there, is there? It's all flat as a swamp, isn't it? I went through there, and there's no ups and downs to it. There's not even many curves to the road. It's just straight to the swamp or straight to the sand or, you know, the only thing that causes you to swerve is when there's an alligator on the street. Anyway, this is theirs. At our church, we have three words that describe our mission, our purpose, and our method of discipleship. Love, learn, live. That simple, isn't it? So if you were looking for a church, you could say, oh, well, love, learn, live, maybe. And that's their whole gig. That is their mission statement. That is their purpose statement. That is their discipleship directive. Only three words. My wife, when she looked at mine, said, there's a lot of words in here, Bill. New Horizons Church in Ohio. Bringing Christ and community together. That's a new church plant that we have, and it's five words. Now, when you looked at that, wouldn't that be nice? Bringing Christ and community together. Here's one from the King Street Church in Philadelphia. This is the largest United Brethren Church that we have at this time. This is how many of you remember Ron Ramsey's second in command? Pat Jones, he gave up his pastorate at that come be our in our headquarters. This is what they have. King Street exists to reach people at their level of spiritual interest and lead them to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a couple of them in here that have the catchphrase at the end of it, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's a Willow Creek catchphrase. And the churches, you see this, when you read that, you can know that they've been influenced by Willow Creek. Fully devoted followers of Christ is one of their catchphrases. And that's 23 words. And it's concise, but it's wordy. New Zion Brethren in Blissfield, Minnesota. I'm of the opinion that that's where Mr. Whipple, our present bishop, was before he became bishop. And it says, a growing community of people who love the Lord and care for each other. And that's got a nice ring to it. You know, if you were looking for a church and you saw that, oh, they're a growing community. They're a growing church of people that love the Lord and love each other. Oh, maybe that's the one I'd like to be a part of. And it's 14 words, which isn't too long. It's pretty good. Here's Pathway Community Church. Meeting people where they are on their spiritual journey and leading them to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. See the willow input there? That's 20 words. But it's a good statement. Meeting people where they are and helping them in their spiritual, you know, journey. Here's a couple more examples. How many of you have noticed the one for the church next door, the United Methodist Church? It's open minds, open hearts, open doors. And when you know that church, I mean, that really fits. Their last pastor helped them coin that phrase. But they never locked their doors. You know, they were telling me it's been 18 years since they locked the doors on the church over there. It's open 24 hours a day. Their doors are open. And it's really the community church in our community. I mean, that's where you go for coffee. If a bad storm comes and there's no power, that's the place you go. I mean, they have a regular Wednesday night fellowship potluck where they invite the community in. They're the community church in here. So when we try to write a vision for our church, to try to compete with them as a community church is just not a good idea because they've already got, but they're very open-minded. And they do have good hearts. You know, when the bicycle rallies come in this summer, they invited everybody to use their bathrooms and stay in their church, and they want to feed them breakfast, and they want to feed them lunch. We're going to help them with that. But it's really good, and it's six words, but it's nice it's three twos. I work at Victorious Christian Living International. Our vision statement is to see the body of Christ grow in spiritual maturity through biblical discipleship. That's the vision statement for there, and it shows people what it is that VCLI is all about. And it's 13 words. So, I believe the pastor of this next church got the same book from Ron Ramsey that I did, and this is what's on their website. It's the banner of Christ Church. Our vision is to know Jesus Christ and together help others know Him in a life-changing way. That's 15 words. Our mission, loving Christ, becoming His family. It's 5 words. And then our core values are those priorities that we give all energy to. Inspiration, interaction, integration, instruction, intercession, involvement, investment. And there's 3 sentences that go with each one of their values. Last week I was talking to you about values, and this guy apparently is somebody who likes to create those sermons where everything starts with the same letter, you know. But he's done exactly what the book that Ramsey gave us asked us to do. And it's the same pattern that I'm following. You decide your core values. From your core values, then, you write a vision statement and a mission statement, and that's what you communicate to people. Now, which one of those can you remember? Who can remember any one of them? Anybody? Anybody remember the love, learn, live? You know? A place to go, yeah? Yep, you got the first one stopped. Good. So, when we create what we present to people, I think one of the things that we should seriously consider is something short, honest, and concise that would tell people what we're about. So, after all that, what do we want to say our vision statement is? I wrote a document in 2007 that had our vision statement on it. It looked like this. Lori still has one of those on the front of her treasurer's 3-ring notebook that I made for her. I took this and drove all the way to Huntington, Indiana to get a 4-hour appointment with Ron Ramsey to sit down with him. And I showed this to him and I said, this is what I think I want to do. And he read through it thoughtfully. I had time to sip my coffee a couple times while he read through it thoughtfully. And he said, it's okay, but it's not the way I'd do it. And I went thinking, oh man, I really worked hard. And I got this whole page of stuff. And was kind of what he said, I wouldn't do it like that. I said, oh, okay. So, on that page, the Church of the United Brethren in Christ at Kalita, the vision is from Isaiah 61, 1, 2, 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of our Lord to display His splendor. And the vision is to release the life of Jesus Christ and transform saints. Now, when you look at the front of your bulletin, or you look at every slide that I've been doing recently, you see this beautiful rainbow over an oak tree in the middle of a cornfield with a road running through it. And it's really my best attempt at visually presenting to you what I think God's about to do. That the flood, the storm is over, the rainbow's there, and it's a full, beautiful rainbow, and there's this winding road through the cornfield that you and I are on. And the idea is, visually, that's us. That's our little church in the middle of the cornfield. Can you see the cornfield there on the right side and the wasteland on the left side? And I like that imagery because I really want to present to you and to the community that we're a growing place. We're well watered. You notice there's not leaves on the tree yet. It's the spring of the year. Things are going to grow. Things are going to change. And what I said at 2007 is to release the life of Jesus and transform saints. And when you read through this whole thing, it was honest to say that what I was trying to do is release what Jesus had put into us when I wrote that. And when you hear a good vision statement, this is what it's supposed to do. What's supposed to happen, and when you read a good vision statement, you say, wouldn't that be nice? You know, wouldn't it be nice if our lives were changed and Jesus was being expressed to the community through us? Wouldn't that be nice? We're changed. We're transformed. We're renewed. We're moving forward and we're enjoying the resurrection life. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, it should also be a vision statement. It should be clear, concise, but it should also be result-oriented. You know, there should be some result to our vision. Here's a good one. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if all the nations were baptized and discipled and all of them were seeking the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? And is it result-oriented? Yeah. That's Jesus' vision statement, mission statement before he left. So, if I were to rewrite what I did in 2000 today, it would look like this. Our vision is to see the life of Jesus Christ revealed in transformed saints. I think, as your pastor, that's what I want to see in us, in my life, in your life. I want to see the life of Jesus coming out of us. I want our lives to be transformed. I want us to be able to give glowing testimonies of what God's doing in our life and that we're living above the circumstances and the chaos of this world. That's what I want to see. Now, I don't know if you can buy into that with me or not, but that's what I want. And I think because Jesus started his ministry when he was 30 years of age and started his public ministry in his own hometown in the church, he read Isaiah 61. And I think that's a good place for us to start. Now, that's still rather wordy. Do you think that's what we want to use? My wife says, I hope you soon get to sermons that have conclusions to them rather than processes about them. But I want to walk through this with you and not be some dictatorial leader that just tells you, okay, this is what we're going to do, now shut up and do it. I want to walk this through, talk this through, live this through with you in a way that we're all on the same sheet of music. So, maybe I start at the beginning. When I came to be your pastor, there were two questions. Do you believe I can use you to help these people know me and love me more? And I told the Lord, I've watched you do that through me before, so you can do anything, so I think you can do that. Well, do you love those people? And it took me a few days to seriously consider that, and I decided, yeah, I love you folks. So, if I were to go from there, this is what a vision would be. To see each other grow. So, to see each other know God and His love for us, and to love each other is where I started. And it's 15 words. I could make it simpler. How about this? We love God, we love people. We love God, don't we? We love people. Does that make you think, oh, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice to go to a place where people love God and they love me? Where I would be loved? Now, that's only 6 words. And then this is what I'd like to put along with it. Just come as you are. Start where you are. We're starting where we are. Just come as you are. Well, now, we could use Matthew or Mark, but both of them have the same content, and either of them could be a part of what we present to the public. In Mark 12, 28 through 31, it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard the debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. The departing commission that Jesus left could be a part of what we say to the public. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Both of those, I think, are good things to present to the community because they're the greatest things to do, and it's the departing orders that he gave. So Wednesday's mail brought me this letter. And it's from OMS International. Now, OMS has a new name, it says on here. One Mission Society. That's their new name. And they have a new tagline. One Lord, one life, one calling. It's only 6 words. Now, this is the new pattern that people who are in the know do. Now these people, when they did their annual survey, they had decisions for Christ. 281,477. Over a quarter of a million people came to know the Lord, made decisions for Christ. 281,000 people. How many new churches did they plant last year? 3,500. How many people went through their discipleship training? 75,936. These people are about getting some work for Christ done, or at least putting some really cool numbers on their letter. Right? But this is a new trend that's going. You have a tagline that you present to people, and this is the first thing that they see. And it's something that's simple and understandable. When you looked at the ones, A Place to Grow, that's a tagline. And if you dig deep enough into their website, you find more information. So, here was the mission statement that they put on this letter. Our new mission statement is, by God's grace, One Mission Society unites, inspires, equips Christians to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to multiplying dramatic communities of believers around the world. So, in conclusion, this is what I think I want to do. I want to have a tagline. And I want to have a vision statement. And I think that what I want to do is have our tagline be, we love God, we love people. And our vision statement to be to see the life of Jesus Christ revealed and transformed saints. The first thing that people would see when I create this new brochure and information is our tagline. We love God, we love people. Real simple, just six words, but I think it's true. And then, in parentheses underneath of that, just come as you are. And that's what I think I want to do. Now, next week, I'm going to talk to you in a little more detail about a short, succinct phrase, a purpose statement, that how we would accomplish that. And again, I want to refine these down and see. I'm going to take some of this with me this week when I go meet with the new bishop and see what Phil thinks of it and what he thinks of the ideas. So pray for me. And now when we get done singing and worshiping and go downstairs for fellowship, hang around for a little bit and talk with me, discuss this with me, what I've been thinking and what I've been doing, okay? So, we have a body life expression time. Does anybody have a testimony that they want to share? Is anybody interested in joining the church? I didn't do a salvation presentation, but is there anybody who would be interested in coming to the Lord? Starting to have altar calls as a part of, and I'm in a transition for that. I'm not doing very well at it yet, but we'll hopefully get better. Okay. Then let's gather our tithes and offerings. Can I ask you young guys in the back to jump up and help me do that? And as we gather offerings, it's because God's been good to us that we give a portion back to Him. Thanks. We'll let you youthful people serve the rest of us. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you give. We give a portion of it back because we love you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.